All right, everybody. My name is Brother Austin Wiggins from Vidor, Texas, coming to you again live for your viewing pleasure that we might be able to introduce our speaker of the hour. And without further ado, we'll turn it over to him at the appropriate time. Brother Jared Skaggs, and you just come on, brother, and let the hammer down and tell us what God's word has to say. We'll turn it over to you.
Well, thank you, Brother Wiggins. I want to start off by saying I really do appreciate the work that Brother Brooks is doing here. It is, without a doubt, encouraging to see programs like this continuing on just steadfastly and faithfully. It's encouraging to see you working with them as well. Thank you for that introduction. More than I deserve. And so I'm just very thankful for this opportunity this evening. The title of my sermon, if you saw the flyer, you may be wondering if Jesus was a post. That may sound very strange. But we live in an age of social media. And most of us are probably familiar with the idea of posting something on social media. The idea of posting something, it goes back to the times where we used to put things on bulletin boards, and that same idea comes into play as we take our social media and we make a post on whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, or I guess it's now called X, or I don't know what else. You might be old enough to remember MySpace. If you do, I appreciate you being in the same age as me. But the idea is, you know, that we put something out there for everyone to see, like a giant bulletin board or town hall board. However, with online posts, we can do more than just post them. We can interact with them. And so with so many people being tied up in social media these days, I mean, I've seen some reports that it says that people spend more time on social media than they do watching TV these days. The thought came to me, what if Jesus was a post? And so we're going to look at 3 points this evening. Number one, we want to look at the idea of, would we like him? In the same way that we interact as we're scrolling through Facebook or we see something that we like, social media is set up for us to be able to like those posts, to let somebody know that we approve of the material or that we enjoyed it in some ways. Now, not everyone does this, and I know I'm not the only guilty person of this, but sometimes, for whatever reason, I see something that is funny or cute or has some truth in it that I do, however, like, but yet I don't actually click or interact with the post for whatever reasons. You know, it may be that there's something in the post that has bad language, and I don't want other people to think that I approve of that bad language. And so even though I find the content to be funny, something in the title may keep me from liking the post. And so for whatever reason, I might not laugh or I might not give any interaction to it because I don't want a false perception to be given. But pushing that like button on a post tells everyone that I approve of this, in a sense. And this is really what brings to mind the whole idea of this sermon. What if Jesus was a post? Would we like him? Would we like him privately, maybe, but yet not push like on it because we don't want to confess this to the world? Friends, that would be right in the face of Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 26 on down to 36. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever," now this is the key here, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and daughter, against her mother and the daughter-in-law, against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Are we worried that somebody might see that we like Jesus and unfriend us? Are we worried that by interacting and letting the world know, preaching it from the rooftops, that somebody might be offended that we like Jesus, and we might lose some followers? We might lose some people who look at our posts, who like us. So are we afraid sometimes, I wonder, if we are not giving our light to this world, we're hiding it under a bushel? You know, the interesting thing is, besides just hitting like on a post, specifically, I'll get that word out in a second, we can do so much more with posts nowadays, you know that? Especially in the realm specifically of Facebook. Now we can heart a post or care for it, mean that we love it, or that it means something special, that we're trying to send our love towards somebody. And in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If Jesus made a post and spoke his words for all to hear, what would our response be to it? Would we like it? Would we heart it? Would we laugh? Would we give the shocked face? Would we cry? The way that we interact with posts online, and the way that we interact with the Bible, and the words that Jesus has recorded through the Holy Spirit might be very revealing to us if we really consider these questions. What does that Word of God do? Does it, if we speak it, are we afraid that we might offend somebody? That, oh no, I can't say that. That would offend somebody. Whereas we ought not to be. We ought to be able to speak the truth boldly. I also wanted us to think about this concept. Would we follow? From YouTube to Facebook, almost all social media platforms have a deep desire for you to follow a person. That's the whole way that you gain people looking at your things. That's the whole concept of monetizing and YouTube. It's the idea that you want people to follow you. And even YouTube streamers, most of them will say something in their content, if you listen to it, they'll say something along these lines, something, you know, remember to like and to share. They want that algorithm to pick up those words and to let you know, YouTube know that they're trying to get followers to see more content. Whereas if Jesus was a post, would we follow him? In that same sense that we want to see more content, newborn babes sincerely desiring the milk of the word, would we follow him? Would we get a taste of it and want more? In the digital world, that means that we want to see more content from him. And in the biblical world, is it very different? In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, Jesus said unto his disciples, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus said, deny ourselves, take up his cross, and follow after Christ. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said that we were to take up our cross long before he ever went to the cross? You think Jesus knew something maybe about his death? There are so many people who want to do those very things, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to follow after Christ. but for whatever reasons, we just simply don't do it, do we? Well, we might deny ourselves at certain times, but do we do it on a day-to-day basis? It's a reasonable service, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Taking up the cross, that really means something. If we go to Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 23, we find this. It says that a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these things I've kept from my youth up." I know those things. I understand. I'm doing that. But now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And I notice the response. The prick of the heart. It says when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. From his youth up, this man had denied sinfulness, but he was not ready to take up the cross of Christ and follow after him. In John chapter 10, verse 2 through 5, it says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And him the porter openeth. And the sheep, they hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Friends, I want to submit to you this. Following Christ, denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following after Christ means that we hear his voice. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We hear his voice, we listen to his commands, and we trust and obey him to follow wherever it is that he leads us. Sometimes that might be easy in certain situations. In other situations, it's not very easy. It's not always going to be a life of easiness. And if somebody has preached to you this message of prosperity gospel, that everything's just going to be rainbow and sunshine once you become a Christian, friends, somebody has lied to you. Remember back what Jesus said, as we read earlier? He came not to send peace, but a sword. To set father against mother, and mother against father, and sister against brother, brother against sister, sister-in-law against mother-in-law, mother-in-law against sister-in-law, or daughter-in-law, and so on and so forth. I mean, you put any relationship in there, and you don't tell me that it doesn't sometimes make family reunions difficult when it is that we are constantly living by faith, walking in the light as he is in light. And others see that, and they think all certain kinds of things about us. They say, "Well, oh, he's a goody-two-shoes. You know, he thinks he's better than us. He's holier than thou." Why? Because we simply say this is what the truth is, and we try to live by it? Friends, sometimes it's going to make relationships hard. Sometimes it's going to make us make difficult decisions in business. You know, I want. And so we have to get. But at the end of the day, that's the not denying ourselves. That's giving in to ourselves. I want the bigger house. I want the bigger boat. I want the bigger car. And so I don't work. Or I do work those hours, which keep me away from doing the Lord's work on Sundays and Wednesdays and throughout the week. I'm no longer available to serve as I should, to visit the fatherless and the mothers and the widows in their afflictions. And so we need to listen to his voice. We need to deny ourselves and follow where he leads. The third point I want us to think about this evening is taking that liking and going just a little bit further with it. This concept is, would we share him if Jesus was a post? While liking may tell the world that we approve of the message, sharing it means that we want others to see this message. There are two different things. Sharing God's word lays upon the shoulders of those who will follow him. There's not going to be any other way that the world is going to see it. Romans chapter 10, he says, how shall they hear except a preacher preach? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 through 10. Notice what Isaiah said. Isaiah chapter 6, 8 through 10. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. There's how many of us that the Lord said that it all rests upon you now. If no one else was going to preach the gospel, and it all rested upon you, would you say, here am I, send me? Would we share that gospel to this world? Could we be a Noah? Though the whole world's only evil thoughts continually, could we be the one who preaches for 100 years without any response? But yet the word was still preached, wasn't it? Notice again Romans chapter 10. I said something about it just a second ago. But Paul outlines a problem here that comes into spreading the gospel. This is the same thing that Isaiah is saying. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, let's not stop right there. Many people will stop right there, and they'll say, well, that's all I got to do. I got to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. But keep reading. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Okay, well, I got to believe too. How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? Oh, I have to hear the word of God, don't I? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Friends, if we don't preach it, who will? I as a gospel preacher, you know, this is something that we do every Sunday and Wednesdays, every chance that we have to get behind a pulpit, we preach the word of God. But we preach it to those who come to hear it. What about all those people in the world who don't come to hear it? Who's going to reach them? That's why we're commanded to go into all the world, not go into our buildings and sit there in comfort and preach the gospel to ourselves and feel good and walk out and say, well, I really felt something about that sermon today. It made me feel so good. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Friends, this means that we have to leave our buildings and go into this world and that we're a part of. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So we go back and we look at Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 17 again, and it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That doesn't contradict what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So just as Romans, Paul begins a series of things, he says, if they can't hear, how do they believe? And if nobody's sent, how are they going to hear, right? And the same thing is true with this. If he that believeth shall not be damned, if he never heard, how is he going to believe? And if he never believes, how is he going to be baptized? And so Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 16, it tells us the recipe that goes into how one calls upon the name of the Lord. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I also find it interesting that word is used. Because when Paul was told what he had to do to be saved, he was told by Ananias, "Why do you wait? Why tarriest thou?" Acts chapter 22, verse 16. "Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." Notice this. Calling on the name of the Lord. Wait, you mean to tell me that when I'm baptized and I wash away my sins, that this is calling upon the name of the Lord? Yes, that's exactly what we mean. There's a recipe that the Bible tells us that we must do certain things in order to be saved. If we've never heard the word, a single word of the gospel, then friends, there's no way that we can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And so how do I have faith in a Christ that is a substance, that means something? How am I convicted that this is the Messiah and that he came to this earth and that he died on the cross for my sins? That God so loved the world, John chapter 3, verse 16, that he gave his only begotten Son. But upon hearing that message, I do need to believe. But belief is not enough. James says that the devils believe. Belief is not enough. I also know that I need to repent. Because if I don't repent, I'm not going to be found faithful in the eyes of the Lord. We find many verses that talk about repentance, that we're to. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. He says, "I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." There's many verses that tell us that we must repent, that we must save ourselves from this untoward generation, that God desires all men now to repent. And we've already talked about the confession that must be made. That's the same confession, though, that Peter made when Jesus asked him, "Who am I?" Peter understood, "Thou art the Christ." It was upon that confession that Jesus said he would build his church. This is the whole foundation. Friends, if we don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then what are we building our faith upon? It's not some blind leap in the dark. And so we must confess it to all this world. We have to let people know that, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And friends, we need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. And so as we think about this concept, if Jesus was opposed, would we like him? Would we follow him? And would we share him? Now, I know what we do on social media. If we see something that we like, we like it. We share it. We follow it. If we see constantly good content coming from somebody, we definitely follow it because we want to see more of it, right? As we close out this evening, I want us to think about this concept. Do we treat social media better than we do Jesus? Now, in the real world, this is a lot harder to do. It's very easy on social media to just simply click like or to, push your finger over the button if you got a touch screen. It's easy to share it. It doesn't take you any sweat at all to push share. Now, if we're getting older and maybe technologically not as advanced as we used to be, it may be a little bit more difficult, but it's still easy in the grand scheme of things to do that on social media, right? But in the real world, friends, this is a lifestyle. And we need to count the cost. And so as we close out this sermon, we want to challenge the listeners who are here with us to consider your life and the way that you like the Lord. Do you love him? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Have you given your life up to deny yourself and to follow after him? And are you ready to share him with the world? If it is the case that you are listening and you are not a Christian, friends, we want to encourage you to change that this very evening. It's not something that you have to wait for. You don't need to find a group of people doing this. You can call up any local Church of Christ. And I can guarantee you, if you can get a hold of their minister, it doesn't matter what time of the day or night it is, they will gladly, at 3 o'clock in the morning, come to the building and take care of this matter for you. Or, for that matter, you can contact me on social media, and I will gladly find somebody near you that will help take care of this evening. So if you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one. There is no more vital time than to do it right now. For friends, we don't know what tomorrow may bring. And if it is the case, though, that you have done those things, and maybe you have not been liking the Lord as much as you should, and while I was saying like, it doesn't really give it the full weight. Maybe we haven't loved the Lord as best that we should. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, he says. Maybe we haven't been keeping his commandments. Maybe it is the case that we haven't been following him the way that we should, or maybe we just have not been sharing him with the world. And friends, we want to encourage you to do better. We can pray for you. We can pray with you. If anybody has need of the invitation, now would be the time to take care of it. Thank you.